The next matter is in the matter of the irrevocable trust of Mary, I'm mispronouncing the name, I'm sorry about that. Is it Michalak? Michalak, okay.
Good morning, may I please report? I'm Jay.
Just a second, Mr. Grapple. The next matter is in the matter of the irrevocable trust of Mary Michalak. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm James Crampton. I'm here representing Richard L. Michalak, appellant here. And it's interesting because one of the things that was noted is during the trial period of this case was the parties didn't even agree on how to pronounce it. Michalak, my client pronounces it Michalak. Holic. At any rate,
that makes me feel better, thank you.
But there is considerable disagreement among family members about many things. But in this case, Mary set up a trust and executed a power of attorney prior to her disability. The trust was designed to handle specific assets that were put into it, and the trustee was supposed to be working hand-in-hand with herself, attorney in fact. Other assets were left out of the trust. It's an irrevocable trust. Specific assets were placed into it. There were specific limitations on what was to be done with trust assets. It looks like special needs hybrid type of a trust is designed to protect the disabled son, her $400 a month. And then subsequent to the execution of that trust and the power of attorney, the attorney in fact then transfers all of Mary's assets and then proceeds to basically ignore of the provisions of the trust as far as what's supposed to be assets. It would appear from the language of the trust that those assets are to be, there's an attempt to preserve those family assets. There's a question about whether or not any of the other assets should have been placed into it. Nevertheless, the trust assets, including the assets that were transferred into it, were subject to a limitation that there were supposed to be $400 a month that was going to Mary, and that was the extent of it. The fact, what happened is the trustee went on to spend most of the money on Mary's care, which there was no provision at all to cover Mary's care with trust assets, which adds to the inference that it was set up as a special needs trust with the intention that if you were to be needing nursing home care or assisted living or something like that, that these assets would be segregated and would not be subject to those needs.
Had they not used the trust money, what money would have been available to take care of Mary?
After the non-trust assets the trust, there wouldn't have been anything that supported her, except for her income, and her income would have been insufficient.
Well, they put the income in the trust, too. They mixed up, they put the pension money, everything in there, didn't they?
The income at that point would have been her Social Security. But the point is taken that I don't think
Nobody took any money. It's just where they put it and what they did with it. Isn't that true?
Well, that depends upon how you look at it. I mean, she was spending the money on Mary's care by giving it to her own children and to herself. She was paying her credit card bills with it. There's the funds of the trust were treated basically as another pocket in her pants. It wasn't.
What if she would have paid it to a nursing home? Would you have objected to that?
under the terms of the trust, that there would have been an objection to that. And that's what makes the case so difficult, is because in the absence of being able to turn back time, we don't have a time machine, we can't go back and figure out what would have happened. The trust itself, and trust, because they're being used all the time now as tools, estate planning, spend down planning, it appears this was set up to be, it looks like what should have happened, if we had a time machine and we could impose that on them, what should have happened is that those assets that were not placed in the trust would have been depleted by using those for her care, for Mary's care, either in a nursing home or in assisted living, or even if they would have chosen to do so within the trustee's home, depending on the way they would, but that the other assets would have been preserved for the trust purposes. Now, but that is a way.
And excuse me, but there would also be $400 a month that would come from the trust to Mary for her use.
Except that that doesn't happen, because under the terms of the trust, the trustee is not supposed to pay Mary $400 a month until the other assets came. It dovetails those two functions together.
I understood you to say, though, it would continue until those funds were depleted. And at that point, it would be an additional $400 that would go to her. At least the way I understand it.
And that's the way I understand it, too. So the question is what, in terms of what you're asking, is would those monies have been depleted one way or another without a time machine, crystal ball? The main point of what the problem with this is that the trustee didn't follow the trust at all, whether it was out of ignorance or a lack of understanding what she was supposed to do, whatever it was, she didn't follow it. The $400 a month was never paid. The assets that weren't in the trust were put into the trust. Money was expended for her care when it wasn't supposed to be.
Is that kind of your problem with this case, though, is when it is actually spent on her, as opposed to the trustee spending it on herself or going and gambling it away or something like that? Is that kind of the rub here?
A bunch of the funds were being spent, but there's no question. I mean, the accounting even shows the trustee was spending the money to pay her own bills, and to pay her utilities, and to pay her credit card bills. She was diverting the funds to herself.
But the lower court didn't make any finding of fraud on the part of the trustee or anything.
The lower court found the accounting to be woefully inadequate and went on to...
But still approved it.
Correct. And that was the issue that I raised, is can it be approved if it's inadequate? And after that, what's the court supposed to do? And that's the remedy.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So if the court says, I'm not approving this accounting, where are you then? What happens next?
Well, and I guess my complaint is that the remedy that the court didn't propose, or that there isn't, is that there's no remedy whatsoever. And
what remedy did you ask for?
Well, we were asking for a surcharge. They asked that she be surcharged based upon what she had spent that was not under the instructions of the trust, because I mean, if you're going to construe trust, these things are going to be coming before this court and the Supreme Court more than one time in the future. There's going to be times when people don't follow what the trust instructions are, and there's got to be a decision made as to, if they don't follow it, what are you going to do? It's going to be something where it's just, oh well, never mind, it's close enough.
But the money was spent for the benefit of Mary.
Some was, some wasn't. Was it being spent for the benefit of Mary? if the trustee is paying $54,000 in expenses that go to her family, if it's
But she's taking care of Mary for 5 years or whatever it was.
Mary was living with her at the time, wasn't she?
Mary was living with her for, I believe, 3 years of the time period prior to that. I got a few seconds left. I'm gonna...
Thank you. Counsel?
Gerald Johnson representing the LEs. We have a family trust that was put together in 2007. The trustee, Mary McLack, or Mahalik, or however we want to address the family, put that trust together, and she wanted provisions in there for one of her sons. I don't believe he's officially disabled, but he's the party that struggled some through the years. And she wanted to appoint her daughter as trustee. This is generally, with the exception of one of the sons, is a very close family. Miss Mary was a extraordinary person. Her and her husband did very well. They had some real estate, but that they had prior to or at the time of the trust. However, during the last few years prior to the trust, this was all getting away from her. Several of the buildings or real estate buildings she had been tagged by the Omaha Housing. She was struggling with keeping track of her money, and so we have this trust come into play. I'm not going to argue that the trust was not followed very well, but what I can argue is that every dime of this was spent on Mary.
Is that part of the problem, though, that the trust didn't provide for that expense?
I can understand that concern. It didn't specifically provide for that. However, I think it was the intent at that time by all the other siblings and Mary that the trustee would provide for her. I know one of her issues was she wanted to spend as much time in her home as possible, and she really hoped that she would die in her home. And the trustee, that was and the grandchildren and all the other siblings worked very hard for that to happen. Even when she was in her home for a couple years, there was grandchildren that were living in the home or stayed with her during the night. They took turns. And then she came back to live with the trustee in the home for the last 3 years. There was some found by the court that, yes, there was some bills paid of the trustees. However, they were like maybe every fourth electric bill was paid by, or at least a portion of it was paid by Mary because she was living in the home. Now, that's not a very good way to keep track of your expenses, but the total of these expenses were, and was found by the court after the court examined this case for 2 days very carefully, that the cost of providing for Mary was very economical, and it would have exceeded that greatly if she would have at some point, even for a year or so, entered a home.
So this trust had no court supervision from its creation in 2007 through Mary's death in November of 2012. Is that, it wasn't until this litigation was started?
That's true. When that is true. There was no court supervision.
Okay.
But again, the court examined, it wasn't like there was no records. They just were not put together very well. There was check stubs, there was receipts, there was lots of records, but they were not put together in a fashion that was probably proper. However, as far as the court's order, the amount that the court found that came into the trust and was spent, I think the court was very comfortable that those were the numbers. The other argument I would make is that there is heartless error here. The trust was put together where the child she wanted to make sure was cared for was to receive no less than 1/6, receive 3 lots with where his house lived, receive that house, and he was not to receive less than 1/6 of the total estate. Well, what he's taken by the court order is far exceeds 1/6 of the total estate. And even if the trustee was to pay back to the estate this $50,000 that she retained or charged the estate for taking care of her mother, he still would exceed in his share of the estate more than the other beneficiaries.
Did any other beneficiary raise a complaint with
no.
how this was being handled?
There was no other beneficiaries that raised a complaint. One of the beneficiaries was deceased, and he has 2 boys. They were in court on at least a couple occasions for some time in court. There was no objections raised. Didn't appear there was any. The only objection raised is by the appellant. I think there certainly I think maybe as lawyers we probably need to educate and do a better job sometimes with trusts that are put together. I don't think there's any argument there. However, we have a lot of lay people out there that are just trying to take care of their family. And that they're probably not good accountants, and they probably procrastinate maybe don't spend an evening putting their records together and keep it up like they should. However, the intent was to care for mother. And there was no fraud here. There was no bad intent. The only intent was to take care of their mother.
The records show who drew this trust. Was it drawn by an attorney, or was it? They buy it at a grocery.
It was drawn by an attorney store in Omaha, and I was representing the trustee at that, the appointed a trustee at that time. It was pretty much we pretty much agreed with what they proposed, because I guess our intent was to make sure that mother felt comfortable that her son was going to be taken care of. Probably. Maybe some objections should have been raised at that time, and probably by me, maybe. But I think the full intent of, and when that trust was being put together, it was put together with several of the beneficiaries in the room as well. So there, and including the appellant. So I think the intent certainly was there that it should take care of mother and address the issues that were a problem at that time. As I mentioned prior to, she, estate was getting away from her. It was hard for her to keep track of renters. And so, again, I think if there's plenty of error here that can and blame that can be passed around, but I think it's harmless error. And I think the family certainly took care of the mother, and I think that needs to be a high priority of the court's decision.
Would you agree with opposing counsel that the trust was actually created to try to protect the assets so they could be passed down to the children, as opposed to taking care of the mother?
I think maybe in the perfect world, maybe there was some thought of that, but I really think the beneficiaries, at least the beneficiaries, really just wanted to make sure mom was taken care of, and that that the real estate, she could get as much out of the real estate as possible, and there'd be as much money available if she did need to go to the home. I think the real intent is just take care of mom.
Thank you very much.
Questions?
How much time does the appellant have left? We'll wait till you get up here before we start the clock.
Okay, first off, I need to say that the intention of the trustor is the intention as it's expressed in the trust. Any other evidence about her intention is irrelevant as it's expressed in the trust. Number two, the appellant here is disabled, that's been found in the trust. And lastly, we want to set a precedent that it's okay to ignore all of the provisions of the trust as far as what the trustee is supposed to do.
Thank you very much to both of you. We appreciate you being here today. You're excused, and the matter is deemed submitted. This completes this session of the Court of Appeals.